Take two.
Are we recording now?
Yeah, the red light's on. Are you crazy? Welcome back, everybody, to the Magnetico Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Jason Magnetico. I'm here with my son.
Cole, what's up?
You ready to get into it?
Yes, sir.
A lot of stuff happened. Every time, it seems like every time we get in here now, it's more and more stuff going on.
It's like every Wednesday something happens. So we got to talk about it.
We got to wait for a week to talk about it. But big things going on, baseball season starting, some rule changes in the NFL that we're going to discuss, Ohtani, and we're going to start with last night.
What happened last night?
Big game for Cole last night. So let's just set the picture. Go into the game. Start out the season hot. I don't know the actual stats, but you started out the season, I want to say, easily batting 460, 480, somewhere up there. Every game getting a hit or two. And then you hit a little slump. So going into the game last night, what was you like, 0 for 6?
0 for 8.
0 for 8. But you was putting the ball in play. It wasn't all strikeouts. You know, some unlucky things and some pop-ups. But last night you came into the game, what did you say, 0 for 8. First inning, come up to bat against a good pitcher, got a wicked curveball, and you rocked a single, a hard hit to outfield, to left center. And that had to feel good, get that hit and get off the schneid a little bit there.
For sure, for sure.
So next at bat, Cole comes up and hits his first ever official home run. So congratulations to Cole.
Thank you, thank you. It felt great. So it's just definitely a moment I won't forget.
Well, let me give you the. So yeah, that I mean, it is one thing as a parent. It's great to see you do it, and get it done. But it was a no-doubter. Yeah. That's what I loved about it. Because I don't know if you heard it on the video, but I went, ooh.
Yeah, I heard that.
I was like, ooh. I knew it was gone. Like, I knew it, and I just love seeing you round the bases and enjoy the moment and celebrate with your teammates. How did that feel?
I didn't really know what to do because I've never done that before. So.
But you know what to do on a home run. Well, yeah, you're a baseball guy.
But I was looking back at the video, and I did not mean to do this. I was trotting very slow.
You're not a fast guy.
Well, I know, but have you seen Daniel Vogel back around the bases after a homer? That's what it looked like.
Well, let's back up to the first inning. You steal second. You steal third. Mm-hmm. But then you steal home. Now, you said that coach said if you get the opportunity, go.
Yeah, because he was in the windup, and I was basically halfway to home, and he was still he was still set, like he hadn't gotten set yet. So I just went.
Okay, did he relay to the batter that it was a possibility this was coming?
I don't think so, no.
So we were just hoping and praying that the batter didn't swing?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, we took that risk, and it paid off.
Okay.
So.
Stay hot.
That would have been bad if I got hit, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, when you watch it on the replay from the Sky Cam, he knew it was coming because of the commotion and everything and you running down the line. I think you caught his eye. But, yeah, I was wondering, you know, from the sidelines, okay, did Coach give him the take sign? I told your grandmother that he gave him the take sign. Because we were trying to figure out what you were doing.
I don't know.
You're not the fastest guy in the world.
Yeah. I don't even think Coach knew I was going.
But you got such a big jump, and that pitcher has a slow – he's a good pitcher, but he is very slow and deliberate to the plate. So it was a good opportunity to grab an early run in the game that you were pitching. Mm-hmm. So you go out, you get three up, three down in the first inning, and then second inning was a little shaky for you. It's okay.
I'm not a pitcher, but
– you're not a pitcher.
I like to think I can be.
But you went out there and you did your job, and then – you hit the home run, celebrate with your team, and your team's scoring a couple runs, and the game was kind of in the bag. You guys had it. Mm-hmm. And Cole comes up for the third time in the game, and When I tell you, he turned on the ball. Like, it was, that was, I watched it on the, because I filmed it, but I couldn't see. Mm-hmm. I never saw the ball on the sky cam thing. The ball went above the trees somewhere. Like, I don't even understand where it landed. It must have landed in the yard across the street, because I don't know how you hit it. It was a high pitch, but you turned on it. But what I'm very proud of you. Okay, so how did that feel? That you hit the second one. You're rounding the base on the second one. Like, well, I heard you on the first one say, yes, sir. Like, I knew you was hype. But on the second one, was you thinking, oh, my gosh, like, I'm in the zone here? Like, what was you thinking?
Oh, so I was on deck, and then Gianni hit a – or that's my teammate. Gianni hit a single, an RBI single, and I was like – Somebody's parent was behind me, and he was like – and I was talking to him because he called my homer before. He was like, you got the pitcher's number, like, get a big hit here. And I was like, I'll try. And then I hit that homer, and then I turned to him. He was like, you think I can hit another one? And he was like, I don't know. We'll see. And first pitch, I mean, I hit it. It felt great.
So back-to-back pitches in the game, you went deep. Mm-hmm. And that just – that's an awesome thing to do. Not a lot of people have done it that have played to hit two home runs in a game. Yeah, 5 RBIs, 3 stolen bases, and the win on the mound. I put on TikTok, you retired.
I did not retire.
You're done. Like, well, why even play anymore? You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't even make sense.
Yeah.
Go out on top, Cole. Just go out.
Nah, I can't.
I'm just playing with you. I don't know who was more excited, me or you. So,
I was very excited. I don't know. I don't know how to explain. Like, I didn't think I could do that. And like, that, I meant hit the second one. Like, I didn't think. I don't know. I was just mesmerized by the first one, honestly.
And then as a dad, I'm getting up because Momo said, did that guy get the ball? And then it dawned on me, oh, let's get the home run ball.
So, oh, they got it.
So I go to stand up to go get the ball, and I turn around, and Cole's already running to me with the ball to give me a hug. So that was a great moment. But one of the things that I want to point out to you that I'm very, very happy with you about is your ability to take criticism and use it to improve. You know, I'm not the dad that's out there yelling and screaming at you. I'm not the ride home. Now, if you do something that you ain't supposed to do, we've had those discussions, mm-hmm. You know, and that's part of growing in life. But I ain't the dad that's just on your butt about every little thing. But when there's situations, and you guys are blessed with technology to be able to, when you were in the little slump, all I did was showed you 2 at-bats of your foot, your front foot, going in the bucket. It's something that all hitters have a tendency of doing from time to time. You just get a little bad habit going. And if you watch the video of those 2 hits, those 2 home runs, and your front foot step and the rotation of the hips and that level swing, even on the high pitch, it was a nice level swing. And when you put the mechanics together, you get results like that. And you busted out of the slump on your own. And I told you, only you can do it, you know, and now it's going to happen again. But that's the thing about baseball. It's a game of adjustments. So I'm glad to see that you're experiencing those. And also, we've been open on this podcast about baseball and the tryouts and now this league and playing. I want you to know something, and I'm not just saying this as your dad. Okay. When I had the umpire last night come up to me and tell me what a great kid you are and how much of a joy that the field umpire.
Yeah.
What a great guy you are, a great kid, great attitude, and what he loves about you is you're always on the field having fun. A mom, 2 moms told me what a great kid you are and how much of a joy you are to be around. That's what I mean when I say, remember, there's always somebody watching. Okay? You have the tangibles. Your size is there. Your power is there. Your fundamentals are there. Could they be better? Of course they could be better. right? Mm-hmm. But if you look at all the 16-year-olds in the country right now that are playing JV baseball, let's say, okay, getting one inning here or there, sitting the bench, going in as a pinch runner, maybe playing, what is a JV season, 9 games?
It's like 12.
Yeah. So, I mean, what I want you to keep in perspective is that I'm proud of you. We've talked about this for not giving up and continuing on, just having fun and being a kid and playing. But you are not that far off. And if you look at it kind of like, we'll talk about it, you know, Vientos for the Mets. Everybody's upset, including me. Vientos is going down. Well, I kind of like to see him split time with Beatty at third, like you mentioned, with lefties and righty pitching. But he's going down to get more at-bats and more playing time. How old is Vientos?
Like 24
years old. He needs more time. The only difference between you and some of these kids that are your age that are on varsity teams is their playing time and experience. That's it. So if you're a coachable kid, you're a likable kid, you got the fundamentals, the power, your speed's decent. It's not great, but it's okay for baseball speed. You're athletic and play any position, except, well, you could probably catch too, but you really don't.
Yeah.
Your height is there. You're still growing. You have everything that it takes, you know. So just more experience, more time. And that's why I love that you're playing this, because you're playing every inning. You're getting every at-bat. It's way better than being on a bench of a team or a travel ball team and not playing. And this is great for you, because I say this all the time. If you can't, okay, there's some good players out there. You put a good little all-star team together of the players out there in this rec league. But if you can't do it against that competition, then you're going to have trouble doing it against better competition. Mm-hmm. But if you've never done it, then you don't know what it's like. And I said to Momo, after you hit the first home run, I was like, you have no idea what that does for your confidence. And she's like, oh, no, I know. Come up the next at bat. You wasn't trying to hit a home run, but you had that confidence now. When you step in that batter, you knew you could hit it over, even though you've never even done it in practice.
No, I've done it in practice.
Now you haven't.
Yes, I've done it before in practice.
Come on, man. You ain't done it in
practice. I promise.
All right. Well, you know now, in a game situation, that you can go yard and you can take a pitcher deep. And if the guy's throwing even faster, it can go even further. You know, so I love the adjustment. Like I said, I love the adjustments you made, because that kid struck you out on a curveball 2 games ago with 2 strikes. He's got a wicked curve. But you took the first pitch. You knew he was coming back with a curveball on the second pitch. You fouled it off. The third pitch, you told me. What was you looking for?
Fastball.
Fastball, and you took him deep. That's the game. The game is up here in your head. It's a mental game. So, overall, congratulations.
Thank you.
Last word on it before we move on?
I'm just trying to do my best out there and have some fun. So, I mean.
Are you having fun?
Yeah.
That's all it's about.
I love my team.
You've always been a leader like that. Don't have to be a team captain or anything like that. You just lead by example and continue to do what you're doing. And the sky's the limit. I believe in you 100%. All right, let's get into NFL. Some NFL rule changes have come. We ain't going to talk too much NFL, but I want to hit on these 2 rule changes. So tell us about the first rule change, because I don't even know if you know about the second one.
The first one is the hip.
Yeah.
So you can't tackle somebody like by their hips and then put like all your weight into tackling them. I think that's how it is.
You basically can't wrap up.
Yeah. Which is literally
that's what you're supposed to do.
Definition of a tackle, which makes no sense.
So I can't wrap up and then fall?
So basically, basically, if they get past you, it's a touchdown, unless you like tackle them by the legs, which is even more risk of an injury, by the way.
Okay, so let's make sure we're explaining this correctly. If I run up to you straight on, can I tackle you at your hips and fall?
I think the rule is if you're like at the side or behind them, and then you try and tackle them from behind.
So like if you're chasing somebody down, you can't like grab their hips and just like jump and bring them to the ground?
Yeah, I think so.
It's a stupid. What's your opinion on it?
Might as well just make a two-hand touch or make it like the Pro Bowl flag football.
It's what we're getting to. I don't know how you can play defense.
Already the amount of penalties that are called on defense compared to offense, I mean, it's just going to be way easier to score.
So you're 16 years old. If I asked you who was the most intimidating, hard-hitting defensive player you ever watched, not like on YouTube watching old games, from the time you were born in 2007 and watching NFL, so you know, you probably – when you were three, you were knowing people's names. Like, what player or players stick out in your mind?
I mean, he didn't play for that much when I was born, but Ray Lewis.
Okay.
For sure. Patrick Willis. I'm like looking at linebackers mostly and like safeties at Reed. What about you?
Well, I wanted to see what you were gonna say because you said two good ones. Ray Lewis and Ed Reed, okay, and you remember Lynch a little bit, right?
John Lynch?
Yeah.
No, I don't think he played. No,
you were okay. So Ed Reed and Ray Lewis.
Oh, Brian Dawkins.
By far, they were intimidating defensive players.
Mm-hmm.
Across the middle on a slant. I know you've seen the video of Ocho Cinco going across the middle, and he tried to blindside Ray.
Yeah.
And Ray didn't even see him. And he just ran into Ray and flew. And then he goes back to the sideline. He's like, I tried to blindside Ray and he almost killed me.
That's why I said Patrick Willis, because I'm thinking of this one clip in my head. They're playing like the Jets or something. And the receiver ran a slant and he threw a pass and he was getting tackled like from the legs from behind. And Patrick Willis just comes in there, basically just folds him. I got to show you. It's bad.
Back in the day, Ronnie Lott used to, just annihilate people coming across the middle. You didn't even want to, like, and that was part of the game.
And, that's the thing. Most of, like, their tackles and hits today would be flagged and called penalties. I feel like that's wrong with the game.
And then I see people, you know, playing devil's advocate. Well, all you guys yell and the NFL doesn't care about the players. And then when they try to do something to protect the players, you're complaining. Look, I'm all for protecting the players, horse collar, you know, hits to the head. You know, the Gators had a couple of plays this year back-to-back, terrible defensive plays where one against Florida State, stupid boneheaded decision that impacted the game, but I'm for it. Protect the players' heads at all costs. The waist? Yeah, okay, somebody goes by you and you grab the waist and you fall and pull your weight down or whatever. Yeah, it's an MCL, ACL, maybe, right? But that's part of it. Like, you know what you're doing when you – that's why you get paid millions of dollars.
Like, they can't control that most of the time.
You know when you step in the batter's box of an MLB game, you got a chance of getting hit in the face. It's part of the game. You know, you can get hit in the knee. You can get hit in the ribs. The NFL, you can get hurt severely. It's part of the game. So, I'm not for it. But I don't know what the answer is. I hope we don't get to a situation, because we're already seeing it now where we watch the games and we're like, oh, come on. Let's just play flag football.
Yeah.
And now, with this new rule, I don't know. I'm scared we're going to see more of the same. Did you see the second rule that they just...
The kicking one?
Yeah. What do you think about that? So, if you don't know, they're changing the kickoff rule to similar to what they did in the XFL, which, Cole, you want to explain it, or do you understand it?
I kind of understand it. I don't know, like, where exactly they line up, but, like, they basically just line up, like, 10. I think it's 10 on 10, like, in front of each other. 10 on defense, 10 on offense, or 10. 10 in the receiving, 10 on the kicking team. They just, like, line up, like, 5 yards away. I think it's, like, the 20 and the 25.
Yeah. So the kicker will be down at the 30-yard line on one side of the field.
Mm-hmm.
And then the kicking team's blocking, I don't know, tackling team. Well, what do you call it? The kickoff team. They're like on the 25-yard line. The returning team blockers are like on the 20-yard line, and then 10 of them. So it's 10 and 10, like Cole said. And then the returner's back deep. What is your initial thought? You like it or dislike it?
I don't dislike it. It's just a little odd. It just like it kind of it like what's the word I'm looking for? The kickoff team, like defenders, the guys are trying to tackle the returner, they don't really get like the running start anymore. Yeah. You know what I mean? That cuz they like start where the kicker does and then they run out try and tackle him. I guess it's trying to prevent injuries. I don't dislike it though. It's not too bad.
Yeah, I don't. At first, I was like, "No, not another rule change."
Yeah,
but after watching the XFL kickoff, I kind of like it. I think it's going to because the kickoff return has been gone.
Oh like, yeah, everybody just lets it go out the back of the end zone, or they fair catch or whatever.
That's it. It's a fair catch back of the end zone, both college and NFL. I can't remember the last time I watched a Gator run back. I remember some punts, but a kickoff return. Like, it's been years. And in the NFL, how many times a year is it happening? Not often, right?
I mean, a pretty decent amount, but still not, like, compared to.
And I think the NFL, they take it. And that's, maybe they need to move the ball back. I don't know. Because
the kickers keep kicking it out of the back of the end zone.
The kickers can kick it that far.
It's not even, like, on the returner sometimes. Like, if they kick it in the back of the end zone or, like, into the end zone, they're not going to take it out.
And here's the thing. I feel like they're going to try to run it out more. Because you got to think, if there's 10-on-10, they're basically, so 40, 50, 60. 40 yards down the field, 50 yards down the field. And that by the time the kicker, they can't move until the kicker kicks the ball. So now when he kicks, well, no, they're already down there. So, I mean.
It's just they have the running start now. Yeah. Or they, not now, but they had the running start.
I think you're going to see more returns, but I don't. They're already going to be down on that side of the field. So it's kind of like you could get a little gap and break it.
Yeah.
Opposed to, and it's going to change the way special teams coaches really coach because you used to, you know, run the wedge and all this. So it's really going to change. It's going to be interesting to see what they do. I think we're still going to see a good amount of, you know, touchbacks and all that. But
I'm kind of confused though because, like, do they have to wait till he either catches it or it just goes out of the back of the end zone or, like?
No, I believe. From what I saw, as soon as the ball is kicked, it's in play. Like, they can start. They can start moving.
That's insane.
Let me make sure I'm telling you.
They can literally, like, the kick, they can kick it, and then one guy can get off his block and just be right there to meet him. That's crazy.
The hybrid kickoff rule in the NFL requires a kicking team to line up 10 non-kickers at the opponent's 40-yard line with the receiving team lining up at least 7 players in the setup zone between its own 30 and 35-yard line. That's all it says there. So I don't know exactly when they can move. I'm for it. It's another level of protecting the players, and it's not – you're still going to see a kick return or not a kick return. Yeah. So I'm okay with it, but this is what I got to say to the NFL. If this doesn't work, put the damn ball on the 25 and let's play because I'm over it.
Yeah, just get rid of kickoffs? Yeah,
get rid of kickoffs.
Yeah.
I'm over it. I'm so sick of touchdown, commercial, come out, kickoff,
goes touchback, out of the back.
Commercial, come back. Come on. Enough's enough. So this is your last chance. If this don't work, do away with the kickoff. sorry, kickers, you just be field goal guys. You know, like, enough. Or maybe do the punt.
Yeah. Like how they do after, I said I'm again, my bad. That's all right. After a, what's a safety? Yeah.
Well, they had the option, right? Or do they punt?
No, they have to punt it.
They have to punt it, yeah. So
just do that.
Yeah, which I don't, yeah.
The punt is treated as a kickoff anyway, so why not? I don't know why they don't just kick it off.
That's another option. But overall, it's kind of something that's, you know, it's not that exciting of a play anymore.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of a waste of time as far as I'm concerned. We can get the games done a little quicker, kind of like baseball.
Yeah.
So those are the two. Any other major NFL stuff that we need to hit on?
Well, I just saw one of the better corners when he's healthy just sign with the Rams. Tre'Davious White, ever heard of him?
No.
No, he played for the Bills. And he's been pretty good, but he's been injured. But he, like, just signed with the Bills. I just saw that, so I want to say it. That's about it, though.
Let's segue into baseball. It's starting up this week. Well, it's already started.
Yeah. The Ulcers.
Yeah.
Pretty entertaining game.
Yeah.
Yeah. The first one was all right. I mean, 5-2. I was in chemistry while they were playing, so I just turned it on after I got my work done. And the second game was 15-11, which that game was just...
Early thoughts so far for me is the Mets dodged two bullets.
With Yamamoto and...
Ohtani.
No?
Yamamoto's first start gives up 5 runs in the first inning. Everybody, oh, it's spring training still. If he was on the Mets, y'all be bashing the hell out of us. Exactly. So I don't want to hear it. So take it what it is. He gave up 5 runs. He got knocked out in the first inning. He ain't looked good all spring. So he may have great stuff, but he has not proven himself yet in the major leagues. Now, neither did Senga. But the first game Senga came out, he looked okay.
Yeah.
You know, first couple starts, like, he was dominant. So, I'm not, you know, this guy may be an all-star pitcher by when it's all said and done. But the other big bullet they dodged is this Ohtani thing. So, I know you said the other day you didn't really understand totally what was going on. Have you seen any more on it or have any thoughts about it?
I haven't really seen too much on it, but it's been with his interpreter, right?
Yeah. So, basically, the interpreter... It looks like the interpreter is the fall guy. So the interpreter was hired by the Dodgers, but then it came out that the interpreter was really Ohtani's childhood friend. And there's some stories that have come out that says Ohtani don't even really need an interpreter. He's always known English. So why'd you have this guy as your interpreter? Okay, there's a lot of media. Take the pressure off. Yeah, I get it. You're a superstar. I want my friend. New country. Okay. We'll let you have an interpreter. That's fine. But the part, so he's being alleged of sports gambling. $4.5 million was missing, went somewhere out of Ohtani's account. So I listened to Ohtani's press conference, I think it was today, and he was working through an interpreter. And he's basically saying he's never bet on any games professionally in any sport, that this guy basically stole money from him. And I'm sorry, I don't believe him. I don't believe him. You're innocent until proven guilty. And
you're guilty until proven innocent.
And it works both ways in this country for sure. And you... It's just too fishy. Like, this guy, why would an interpreter have access to your bank account, let alone $4.5 million?
Yeah.
Now, these people were saying Ohtani was throwing games and point shaving and all that stuff. You don't owe, like, if he was up $4.5 million, I would, like, but you're not betting on yourself and losing $4.5 million. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
It's stupid.
If you're gonna control the bet, you're going to win. Right? Why would you So those people need to stop. The problem comes if he was betting on sports in general. I don't even know what the official MLB rule is as far as betting on other things. But I know in California, sports betting is illegal. He played in California last year. So it's a mess. And I don't know what's going to happen. People are saying he's looking at a year ban, this, that, the other. I don't know what's going to end up happening. If I had to guess right now today, this will be brushed under the rug with the MLB. He's too big of a worldwide star for anything like that to happen. So they're going to try to make this go away. Something's going to happen here in MLB shortly. They're going to create something that's going to take the focus off of this.
Yeah.
Because right now it's a hot mess. And if he was in New York playing for the Mets, it would be another circus. And look what the Mets did again. And da, da, da.
Is betting illegal in New York?
Betting is not illegal in New York or Jersey or now Florida. So every state's different. But I don't know what the I'm sure you can bet on the MLB.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I don't know. I know it can't be illegal totally because I saw a video of some Philly players talking about they went to the casino and Schwarber told the guy, I forget who it was that was talking, they were in the batting cage, and he said red 32 or something like that. And he put money down on red 32 and won $700. And he's like, we left. You know, the boys got the win. $700 to that guy ain't nothing.
Yeah.
But so I know they're allowed to partake in that, but I don't know if they're – I know they're not allowed to bet on their sport, but I don't know if they can, like, if an MLB player can bet on football. I don't know enough about it. But it's a bad look regardless of what happened, you know. So I'm glad the Mets dodged that. Something that I saw I wanted to bring to your attention, we talked on the last – couple podcasts ago about the famous agent Scott Boras, who Pete Alonso has hired as of early last year, I think, or maybe over the summer. Bellinger, he was seeking a $200 million contract. These are all his clients. He was seeking a $200 million contract. He signed an $80 million contract with the Cubs. Chapman.
Well, how it depends on like how much per year did he want.
I mean, it doesn't say that. It's just he was looking for $200 million payday. Let's just look at it that way. Well, forget the year.
Isn't Blake Snell his client?
Yes.
Okay, so
let me get there.
Okay.
So Bellinger was wanting $200 million, held out, got $80 million from the Cubs. Chapman wanted $150 million plus. He declined a $100 million contract from the Blue Jays, signed with the Giants for $54 million. Snell, who you just mentioned, $300 million plus is what he was seeking. He turned down $168 million from the Yankees. He signed a $62 million contract with the Giants.
See, but that's the thing. He wanted 10 years, $300 mil, which is $30 mil a year. He got that. He got 2 years, $62 mil. So, I mean, he got what he wanted, basically.
Say that again, because I didn't follow.
So, his contract that he wanted was 10 years, $300 million, right? So, that's $30 million a year.
Okay.
And he got 2 years, $62 million. So, that's what he wanted. He got what he wanted, $30 million a year.
No. He got $30 million a year, but he wanted 10 years.
Well, obviously, yeah.
And that's the difference in baseball contracts that you got to remember. Baseball contracts are guaranteed. So if he would have signed a $300 million contract, $30 million a year for 10 years, he's guaranteed $30 million a year for 10 years.
Yeah.
He goes out and breaks his leg in August of this year. They only have to pay him $64 million, you know, instead of $300 million if he could never play again.
Yeah.
So that's where Scott Boras, he gets a little greedy. And he still makes his 10% off of these guys. But, you know, what if Bellinger would have been seeking a $140 million contract 7 years? Would somebody have given, you know what I mean? Like,
somebody would for sure given him that.
Like, he gets greedy And he gets his big percentage no matter what they sign.
Yeah.
Martinez.
JD.
He was seeking $50 million plus. He declined a $15 million contract with the Giants, and he signed with the Mets for $12 million.
What a guy, man. Love that guy.
So all these people bashing Steve Cohen, bashing. This is what I see. He went in hard for Yamamoto.
Didn't get him.
Best pitcher in coming out, like the best prospect to get that was going to be ready for this year. Didn't get him, but gave the effort. Was in on Otani, but didn't go crazy. And then didn't overpay for Martinez. Let the price come down. See what you had with Vientos. Vientos had all spring, didn't really light it up. You see some flashes there from him, but then pulled the plug and said, you know what, let's bring JD in for 12. Vientos, go down and get some reps in the minors. That's, we can debate that on another show. But I like what Cohen's doing. And now Montgomery has been seeking $170 million. And I read a report today that the Yankees and Mets are still in on Montgomery. So that price is going to come way down too. So you asked me the question on that episode of why is it like this? Like, why are these guys, there's your reason right there. Scott Boras. He's just, and I hate that Pete went with him, but we'll see how it plays out.
Pete's going to get paid, so.
Pete's going to get paid for sure. But I still, you know, MVP, get us to the playoffs, he'll be a Met.
Hopefully. And MVP, that's kind of with the town in the NL, I don't think he's really got a chance.
Push for the MVP. If he, you're I in mean, the MVP,
he can get MVP votes.
Yeah, that's all. Sure. I mean, be a contender. Okay. Be a contender for the MVP. Get the wild card. And I can see you coming back.
Yeah.
But JD Martinez, so that's the other thing. So you signed a guy for $12 million. I love Vientos. I think he's got potential. But you signed JD Martinez for $12 million. That's a heck of a trade chip come July. We're hovering around. We possibly could make a playoff thing. JD's having a good season. Vientos is lighting up in the minors. So give me two prospects. Bring up Vientos. Same way we would have started the year if we didn't sign JD. So I like it. I like the front office moves. I like what they're doing. I'm glass half full. Season opens Thursday against who?
The Brewers.
Brewers. Who's our starting pitcher?
Jose Quintana.
Man,
I don't know who theirs is, though, but it's not Corbin Burns, so thank goodness.
Tell me about this pitcher that's pitching for the Braves that I keep hearing about.
The Braves?
Apparently they got this guy that they're saying is going to be one of the best pitchers for the next 10 years. Got a mustache.
Oh, Spencer Strider. Dude, he's really good. Like, he's nasty. We faced him, and we haven't really done great. Actually, we have, but sometimes that we haven't. He's just really good. I mean, that's all I can say about him, really. He's going to be good for – he's only 25. He's going to be good for years to come.
I hate the Braves.
Me too.
Freaking war chant.
And they're so smart with their money, too. So smart.
Yeah, they got a great front office, just like the Rays. And that's why I like the moves that the Mets have made, because they went in that direction.
Yeah.
With
lock up Alvarez, dude.
You got to lock up Alvarez.
Like 10 years, 80 mil. He'll sign that.
Yeah, I mean.
$8 mil a year for a top 10 catcher already in the MLB? Like.
Yeah, we've talked about that before. It's a no-brainer on that. I want to get your opinion on this last topic on baseball. Unwritten rules. Unwritten rules of baseball.
So stupid.
Okay, so Pete Alonso was the most hit player in 2023. And I don't know if I've ever shared this with you, but it's bothered me. It's bothered me that I have seen absolutely nothing from the Mets to defend Pete from all the hits. And a lot of times, when he's getting hit, it's against rivals. It's against our division opponents. Are they all – does Pete crowd the plate? I don't think so. He's not.
I mean, kinda, but he's not like right on.
All power hitters are up there close, you know. But and he's not up there with the Barry Bonds armor, like a lot of guys have. So, but I just it bothers me that we don't, you know, try to protect him a little bit. Acuna comes up, you get one to the ribs. Stop hitting Pete. I'll just use them for example. I'm not saying the Braves have been hitting them, but it's bothering me. Then there was a story that came out. Do you have something on your eye? Or is that just your hair?
Do I have something on my eye?
Yeah, why? They look black. Oh, no, that was your hair. they came out with an article. I think it was when Buck Showalter was there, and he was talking about why they didn't protect Pete. And that he just kind of didn't agree with it and just caused more problems. And so I wanted to get your opinion on that. Like, do you, if a guy showboats and trots around the bases like you said you did.
No, I didn't mean to.
You didn't, okay, you didn't mean to.
Because I like the guy. I wouldn't do that.
No, but I know you, but you know, you brought it up. Does that warrant, and I'm talking pros. I'm not talking about youth level. Because no youth people, players should be throwing at people because you're not that good in control. If Juan Soto hits a home run, bat flips it, basically walks to first base, pumping up the crowd, pointing in the dugout, beating on his chest, and then goes around the bases, and he comes up the next time at bat and gets plunked, do you have a problem with that?
I mean, I don't see an issue because there's like, it depends on the situation. Like first inning, say he's batting three hole, two outs went by, and then he hits a homer and he does all that. Like that's just unnecessary. You know what I mean? Like you hit a homer in the first inning. There's still eight more innings. So, okay, it just depends on the situation.
So what you're saying is if it was the bottom of the seventh, even a close game, you hit a home run to take the lead, big moment, celebrating, bat flip, slow trot, hyping up the fans. You're okay with?
Yeah,
I'm okay with that too. Let the kids play. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
So the unwritten rule comes in where people need to understand is scores 7-1. Your team's winning, seventh inning. You hit a two-run homer to go up 9-1, and you act like that. Do you deserve to get hit?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the rule. That's where people get the rule a little twisted.
Yeah.
It's really about
the situation.
The situation and showing us up. It's not about we'll bring up a good point because it's happened with you. You stole third in a game where you were up big. Coach got on to you, right? We had that discussion. Yeah, you're up 7 runs. You don't need to steal third. And you stole without the sign. So you was on your own, and you went. You made the decision. Coach told you, wrong decision. You learned from that situation. You didn't get hit the next time you went up. You're a kid. You're learning. In the pros, if you're up 7 runs and you steal third, you might get hit.
Yeah.
That's an unwritten rule of baseball. Don't show us up. Don't try to do extra. So that's where you stand with it. Now, what about Pete? What about protecting, you know, the Mets get hit a lot. McNeil gets hit a lot. Pete gets hit a lot. Nimmo gets hit a lot. What about a team that's hitting your guys, and then do you, and that, this one's hard because this one me and Seneca go back and forth on, like, you hit Pete, so I brought up Acuna, right? You're going to hit their best player. Because you're hitting our guy, he can get hurt. He could break a finger, break a wrist, elbow.
And that happened versus the Braves.
Yeah. So how do you feel about defending your teammate if your teammate's getting plunked? Or is that just something that your teammate needs to handle with the pitcher?
again, it depends on the situation. Like, if it's on purpose, and then and we know that, like, yeah, protect Pete. You know what I mean? But like, say it's like bottom of the seventh. There's runners on second and third, and there's it, the count's 1-1, and he gets hit. That's not intentional. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I see like what like why they would want to protect Pete. You know, franchise player. Hopefully. They want to protect him and not risk an injury and, like, get back at them. But I don't know. Is it really worth getting back at them? I don't know.
You as a player, so here's another scenario. Guy's running to first base, ground ball to third. Guy's running to first base. Third baseman gets the ball, throws it to first. First baseman reaches out with his glove to catch it. Guy's running down first base. He puts his arm out and hits the first baseman's arm to try to get him to drop the ball as he was running. He kind of
is that legal?
No, it's not legal.
Oh.
So he reached in, tried to knock the ball out of the glove, kind of doing it like, oh, the ump didn't see me do it kind of thing, try to be slick. He comes up the bat the next time, gets hit in the ribs. You okay with that?
Yeah.
Because
it's illegal. You're not supposed to do that.
And it's kind of, you're being bush league. You're cheating.
Yeah.
So
Alex Rodriguez.
You're going to pay, right?
Yeah.
You okay with that?
Yeah.
All right. Ruben Tejada. Chase Utley slides in, breaks his leg on a double play, and was nowhere near the bag sliding. Let's be clear on that for a second.
I throw at his head. Every pitch.
He wasn't nowhere near second base when he hit Tejada. So that going up there, you was okay with Syndergaard throwing that?
Yeah.
I am too, but here's the problem that I have, and I'm never going to let this one die. Why in the hell was Noah Syndergaard starting that game?
I couldn't tell you.
You know damn well we're throwing at Chase Utley. They say that was the loudest that it's been in New York in probably since 86, okay, when they introduced Chase Utley that next game. And then when they – and all the boos. And then when they introduced Ruben Tejada on the crutches and the cast. You knew as the manager, Terry Collins, that y'all were throwing at Chase Utley in the first inning. It was writ – like, everybody discussed it. Why the hell is Noah Syndergaard in the game? And they want to go cry because the umpire, they say, is one of the best arguments of all time. You're out there crying. You didn't even give us a chance. You didn't give us a chance, Terry. Why was at the time, our best pitcher, game two? I think it was game two, right?
I think it was game three.
Okay. Why is he in the game? Why didn't you just bring in a reliever to start? Everybody would have known what was up. Why is he starting? Oh, we know why he's starting. Right? Everybody would have been super excited.
Yeah.
You throw at him. You fight. Because at that point, they're fighting.
Oh, yeah.
The benches are clearing. You get the fight out of the way, and you move on. But you agree in that situation, you got to protect your player?
Yeah, of course.
So if somebody – and I'm an old school guy, so I'm not a big Chase Utley fan, period, with his years with the Phillies. But he's a hard-nosed baseball player. He was playing hard-nosed baseball. And Ruben Tejada got his leg broke. It happens. It's part of the game. That's why they get paid millions. Doesn't mean you don't get hit. Now, last thing, and then we'll wrap this up. Do you agree with just anybody on the team getting hit in retaliation? Or does it have to be the person who did it? Meaning, if Nimmo did a bat flip, showed the team up, right?
And then the next batter got hit?
And then the next batter got hit. Because that happens.
Almost happened yesterday, but
it happens. They, you know. So what's your feeling on that?
What's my feeling on
taking it out on just anybody on the team?
Stupid. Like, it's just childish. In my opinion. Because guy hits a home run off you, he bat flips, trots the bases. And you get in your feels, you get in your emotions, and you just hit the next guy. I mean,
that's usually what happens in that situation. Sometimes though, it's a deeper thing. Like sometimes it'll be from a series back or whatever. But ultimately, if a guy gives up a home run, he's pissed. You slow trotted. Y'all are up five. Okay, next guy, you're getting plunked. I ain't necessarily mad at it. If it happened, like if I'm a Mets fan and that happens and they showed us up.
Well, that's the thing. Like you give a homer and then you're just giving up a free base.
Yeah. But also, if you're going to do that, you got to be ready. Because I saw a thing with Derek Jeter said that Roger Clemens, like, or was it Alex Rodriguez? I think it was Alex Rodriguez. No, I don't know. It was one of them two, Jeter or Rodriguez. Basically saying you wasn't charging the mound on Roger Clemens.
Oh, no.
He was too big of a guy. But okay, that brings up, do you remember the Roger Clemens and Piazza situation?
Oh yeah,
Roger Clemens,
the bat went back at Clemens and he threw it at Piazza.
Roger Clemens throwing at Piazza, and then Piazza swings the bat and it breaks and goes towards Roger Clemens, and Roger Clemens picks up the bat and throws it at Piazza. That's called steroids, boys and girls.
Oh, yeah.
That's called roid rage. But anything else we need to discuss before we get out of here?
2 days is Mets game day. You know, I got to watch in the seventh period because it's at 1:15 for some reason. But whatever. Let's go Mets.
Thank you for listening, everybody. We'll see you we won't see you, but join us next time, next Tuesday. We'll drop another episode and break down the opening weekend series of the Mets and Brewers.
Yes.
And any breaking news that happens.
Peace. I was wondering where the music was. I was like, I was doing it for too long. Zach, are
you crazy? Mic's still on.
I know.